Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? And if it's not sipping number two, and if it's not flipping number three.
Hey, you gotta learn the lyrics.
We usually only sing the chorus.
Still gotta learn the lyrics.
I don't think.
Welcome to Guilty Movie Pleasures! Big day.
Yes.
Big day.
We are both excited.
Bad Boys 2. This is one of my favorite movies of all time. Guilty Movie Pleasure or not, it's fantastic. You guys can call me Mike Lowry for the rest of the show, okay?
And wait a second. The poster that they put up had me as Mike Lowry.
Nope, I'm Mike Lowry.
I think I could be Mike Lowry.
You want to try the Mike Lowry?
Let me try the Mike Lowry glasses on. Let's see. You look more Mike Lowry than me.
More Mike Lowry. More.
Do I? I don't know. I can't see myself.
No. I don't know, guys. Alexis, in the comments, who's more Mike Lowry? Is anybody who's picking who?
What if they're like, neither?
Nobody has picked anybody yet.
Neither. Relax. Neither is Mike Lowry. Let's be honest. Neither of us are Mike Lowry.
I think you both look like Mike Lowry.
Well, I'll put on the sunglasses later in the program. This is going to be the longest Guilty Movie Pleasure, so just buckle up.
Buckle up.
Shit's about to get real.
Shit just got real.
Before we get into it, a special congratulations to Ben on the sequel of How to Get Away with Love and Murder in a lonely place, starring Reese Witherspoon and Sofia Vergara.
She's
and
a lovely, lovely person. Sofia Vergara, ice queen, but ice Reese, queen. Lovely
just
human
gorgeous.
Being.
And congratulations on Supergirl.
Yeah,
I want to talk about that. I don't even
It's tough.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know. It's top secret. I'm not allowed to say anything, but I'm excited it got picked up.
Because I saw you posted on Facebook, so
it can be sort of. All I'm allowed to say is that yes, I'm something in it, and it's on IMDb.
Yeah,
but I'm sworn to secrecy. Otherwise, I can tell you is that I personally think it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
I think that when I read it,
you put super in front of anything, and there's a comic book attached to it. More than likely, it's going to get at least three seasons.
It's the same people that are doing. It's the same producers behind The Flash and Arrow, and they've kind of got that TV. They got that TV market cornered. They know how to make superhero TV shows. So I'm really excited about it. And I'm excited to be a part of it, and we'll see what happens.
Ben Begley, Alexis, what you got
in the chat, everybody? Well, Bill and Dylan says Makuga.
Oh, come on, Bill! I thought we were cool.
But Dylan says you pull off the captain look.
What's the me or Ben Begley?
Ben.
Oh, Ben's the captain.
So I'm the uptight, pissed off captain. Makuga, I told you we had to start on time this week.
You were the one that was late. Tactical narcotics team.
What's tactical about not filling up your tire so you're late? By the way, that's why we're late today, because my tire was nearly empty.
Because Ben's an irresponsible owner of an automobile. Guys, if you're out there, fill your tires.
Fill your tires. It's safe.
And that's why we drive police cars.
Safety first. Can I just mention, though, that every week I bring in a DVD from my collection. So pretty much, so far, everything we've done, I've owned.
Yes.
Which means I own way too many movies. But this week, I had to top myself and bring in Bad Boys 1 on Blu-ray, Bad Boys 2 on DVD, and then Bad Boys Miami Takedown, the video game for PlayStation 2. I would love to know in the chat if anyone has ever played that game, because it is a terrible game.
I have been.
But you have voice match actors of Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. I don't think it's actually them.
Not too bad.
I don't think it's actually them.
I would doubt it. I would doubt it.
The controls are all wonky, but hey, you get to be Mike Lowry.
Mike Lowry.
And it cost me $2.
Oh, on your CD thing, it said pre-owned $6.99.
I know, but it was on sale.
Oh, nicely done. All right. Ben Begley, everybody.
Oh, talking about stuff no one gives a shit about right now.
No, it's...
they're like, just get to the movie.
The funny thing is that you own all of these, and I own nothing.
Yeah.
I own absolutely nothing.
Every week
nothing.
When we're going to decide on a movie, Josh is like, it's got to be on streaming, or I got to have time to get it on Netflix disc.
Yes. Because I don't have Blu-ray that I can borrow from you, because I don't own a Blu-ray player, nor do I intend on going out to buy one, because by the time I actually get around to buying one, everything will be digital.
So you have the same technology in your apartment as my parents.
Correct. Yeah. Well, no, I got a smart TV that plays...
Okay, you have a smart TV?
That's cool, so I can play the Netflix on the smart TV. Yeah.
So you're tied.
I'm tied with your mom and dad. That's great news, everybody.
So they're slightly more hip than most parents, and you're slightly less hip than everyone your age to technology.
Are we saying to own a Blu-ray player makes you
hip? No, hip to technology. Sorry.
Hip to technology.
Hip to technology.
Listen, I feel like I stream everything.
That might be more hip. Maybe I'm the old fogey who's like, I want to own a physical copy of everything.
I mean, listen, like we've said before, if the apocalypse comes and weapons and you're trading, the currency is Blu-rays and DVDs.
Oh, I'll be the richest man on earth. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I'll be Gary Oldman in the Book of Eli, yeah, which I also own.
You own the Book of Eli?
Yeah, I love that
Holy
movie.
Holy Christ, that's a pretty decent movie, I guess. Okay.
Let's talk about what we're supposed to talk about.
Okay, Bad Boys 2. Listen.
Oh, my God.
You said it before we started that Bad Boys 1.
Oh, God, this is going to get people pissed off. So let me start off first. I love Bad Boys 2. I think it's one of the most fun action movies ever made. It's okay. Just balls to the wall absurd. To me, it's kind of like, it's in the same vein as Crank, only better than Crank, in being a pure guilty movie pleasure. That's what
Bad Boys 2.
I'm saying Bad Boys 2 is like a pure guilty movie pleasure. When you watch it, I mean, they're throwing dead bodies out of a car and they're running over them, heads are flying. They're driving through shanties that they try and tell you are drug dealers so you don't feel so bad that all these people's homes are destroyed.
Wonderful.
But then at the end, you see like these poor farmers just like, hey, you destroyed literally our entire neighborhood.
It's like in Paperboy when you used to hit the old guy's neighbor with the window.
It's just morally just completely, it just has no morals to it. Okay. Now, what I would say, though, is Bad Boys 1, I'll preface it by saying it was one of the first R-rated movies I ever saw. It was like in the realm of like
Terminator 2. Is Bad Boys 1 R?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. It came out in 95.
So Leone, you don't actually see her naked, but you do see her silhouette in the shower.
Yeah. I was 13 at the time when I saw it. Okay. And I thought it was one of the greatest movies ever. So I'm partial to Bad Boys 1. To me, it's a better film, a better action, a better movie. But I think Bad Boys 2 is a better guilty movie pleasure. Does that make sense?
Yes, because
just before people get all like their pitchforks out at me, because I love both equally for different reasons.
I don't think anyone's getting their pitchfork out because everybody always smashes me because they say Bad Boys 2 is a movie, Bad Boys 2 is a joke. Bad Boys 2...
Oh, you mean Bad Boys 1 is a movie, Bad Boys 2 is a joke?
Correct.
I would say Bad Boys 2 is a parody of the first film.
Well, a lot of
in
sequels
a way.
Are a
in a way.
Die Hard
yeah.
2 is a parody of the first Die Hard, you know?
A Good Day to Die Hard should never exist.
And neither should the fourth one. It should have just ended with a vengeance.
It was at least better. Yeah, Die Hard with a Vengeance was better.
Yeah.
For sure.
Those movies, we're going to do a 3x3.
Oh, God, that'd be amazing.
It's Christmas time.
Yeah.
Die Hard 1, 2, and
But in
vengeance.
Bad Boys 2, they do take everything from the first one and they ratchet it up about 20 times.
Which to me is totally fine because
totally
I didn't think that the first one was ratcheted up enough.
Because the first one was more of like a legit buddy cop action comedy, like not
and they realized
super
that they
crazy.
Struck gold with Martin Lawrence and Will Smith together.
So funny.
Because
they're perfect together.
Perfect. And Bad Boys 3 is in pre-production.
It has been for ever. I feel like 17 years or whatever.
I don't want to know anything about Bad Boys 3. I want to go straight in the movie theater knowing full well that it's going to be the greatest 2.5 hours. The triple, the trilogy, the completion of the Bad Boys franchise with Bad Boys 3 could make my life complete.
I just don't know how you top the second. It's so over the top.
Well, let's break it down. Did you go see, you saw this in the theaters?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Oh yeah, I saw it in theaters and I laughed the whole way. And I remember thinking it was going to be done, which we'll get to this in the plot, with the raid on the house, and then they go to Cuba. And I'm like, oh my God, there's a fourth act of this movie in Cuba.
Starting
an international incident to get your girl back and your sister.
Oh,
shit just got real.
Shit just did get real.
We're going to Cuba.
Like, Bad Boys 2 is kind of like, you're in a threesome and you think it's over, and then a third girl shows up and now you're in a foursome. That's how good Bad Boys 2 is. You guys are welcome. Hashtag mysterious foursome.
Hashtag mysterious foursome. Not to be confused with the Fantastic Four.
Yes. No. That's...
Which it might have been a better franchise if it was the
then
mysterious
Bad Boys
foursome.
2?
No, I'm just saying if it was called the mysterious foursome.
I was going to say, don't you dare
God, no. Are you kidding
Bad
me?
Boys to
the first two Fantastic Four films are terrible.
Yeah, they're awful.
Anyways.
What
they
was fuck
that?
Just like us,
dude. We got some really
oh
good.
Oh my God,
sound
we have like 95
today.
Sound clips.
Ben sent me 12 emails in a row. I was excited to see all 12 of them. Listen,
nine.
I gotta say, my brother and I have very, very similar tastes in movies. He wanted to call in today, but he's busy with work. He's an adult, and
As opposed
he's
to
good. It's about us idiots. He's
not everybody makes a living just talking into a microphone yes, like idiots.
Exactly. So he couldn't call in, but he loves Bad Boys 2 just as much as I do. We've both said that they're in our top five favorite movies of all time. We went to the theater together. Mm-hmm. We've seen it multiple times on TV, Blu-ray. We quote it. I can't wait until my brother's daughter, my niece, is old enough to go on a first date because Ben and I will reenact the Reggie scene.
So good.
And I will have a real gun.
That scene is... you a virgin?
You a virgin?
Yes.
All right, keep it that way. Ain't gonna be no fucking tonight.
Ain't gonna be no fucking tonight.
Can you play that again? That makes me so happy.
You a virgin?
Yes.
All right, keep it that way. Ain't gonna be no fucking tonight.
and then Mike Lowry goes, you ever make love to a man? He goes, no, yeah. Sir. You want to? And he does this really funny, like, deep, bassy voice, like, you want to? And he's like, no.
No.
I read online that, you read that too? Yeah. You tell him. I've been
IMDb
talking too much.
IMDb is a vast well of spring of knowledge.
Vast well of spring of knowledge.
Of knowledge. I was just throwing in adjectives in there for you GMP fans, guys. And they said that Martin Lawrence, who, by the way, Martin Lawrence is notoriously tough to deal with on set.
Yes.
He's not easy. A lot of actors don't get along with him, which is probably why Bad Boys 3 was never made.
Probably why no movie with him has been made in about a decade.
Besides Big Mama's House.
Yeah, like, I mean, when was the last Martin Lawrence movie you saw?
Didn't he just come out with one? He wasn't the main star of it, but it was... I don't know.
I'm going to look it up while you. I'm going to look it up while you explain.
Comment section. They said that they told the actor that was playing Reggie to not look at Martin Lawrence in the eyes.
Yeah, he wouldn't let him. Yeah,
that he didn't want to be talked to. He was scaring the shit out of him solely so that scene when he opens the door is 100% realistic. I mean, to this day, that might be my top 10 of funniest scenes
in
a movie.
So good. It's really funny because it's also funny because they just, Mike Lowry and Marcus, what is it? Marcus Burnett. Yeah.
You know your own name.
I know. I am the Marcus Burnett of the duo. Mm-hmm. They just got done having their crisis between each other. Like, man, I'm quitting. I'm out of here. And then they bond over, over fucking with the daughter's boyfriend. And then they're like, all right, we're ready to go. Yeah. That's all we needed. That's all we needed was to fuck with this teenage kid and scare the shit out of him, pull a gun on him.
Cops are simple people.
Big Mama's Like Father, Like Son was the last Martin Lawrence movie that came to theaters, and I believe that's the third or fourth one. Third one?
Does Big Mama's House have any relation to Madea? Is Big Mama like her sister?
No.
Was there ever a crossover franchise?
They should do a crossover franchise.
They really should.
And there was a pilot that he had that didn't go.
Really? You would think anything Martin Lawrence touched would go to goal. Is it called Damn Gina?
No, it's
called. Is it like the post after Martin?
I think he, if I remember right, didn't he hit Gina in real life or something?
Oh, Jesus.
I don't know. I don't want to spread rumors. I got to look this up and make sure.
Look, we got the whole
scene.
We got the whole scene here right now. Can we play that for the people?
Who the fuck are you?
I'm Mr. Burnett. I'm Reggie.
What you doing here?
I came to take out Megan.
What?
I came to take out Megan.
How old are you?
I'm 15, Mr. Burnett.
Motherfucker, you look 30.
Motherfucker, you look
30.
What's my day? I don't have none on me.
You don't have no idea. Get your ass up against that wall. What the fuck your problem? You think you know it all? You young Thundercats. You got joints on you?
No.
You smoke that shit?
No, sir.
You trying to get my daughter high? You smoke Burns. That shit? Nigga, who that is? That's Reggie. Who the fuck is Reggie? Care to take Megan out.
What you want, nigga? I'm here to take his daughter out.
What's your name?
Reggie.
Well, no, I heard a motherfucker say your name Reggie. You want you taking Megan out?
Yes, sir.
How old is you?
15.
Shit, nigga, you at least 30. This is Mike.
You fight?
You at least 30.
You can fight. Mm-hmm. Oh, you motherfucker, you can't fight. Look at Mike, you. Look. Mike. No, I want to know if the nigga. I want somebody going to take my
You know when they were doing this?
I want to know if the nigga can fight. Somebody might come.
You know this is all improv.
Yeah, and they were trying to compete. Because Smart Lords is legit getting upset.
Why you putting all my business in the street? Why you putting all I just got out of jail and I ain't going back.
What if the rest of the podcast is just us watching scenes from the movie and laughing and not talking?
That'd be the greatest podcast ever.
All right, let the gun go off. You don't
nigga,
have.
You a big old tall ludicrous looking motherfucker, ain't you? You rap?
No.
Move, nigga. Get out of the way. If I see you on the highway, get the fuck out of my way.
Hey, Mike. Listen, have my daughter home at 10:01. If she ain't home at 10:01, I'm in the car. Okay, lock, loaded, and hunting your motherfucking ass down. Do you hear me?
And I'm
going
to
fuck up, Reggie.
And if I'm there, you know what it's going to be? Chitty, chitty, bang, bang, nigga. That's what it's going to be.
Marcus. Oh, Reggie, baby, I am so sorry. Please forgive Megan's dad and his silly friend.
You a virgin?
Yes.
Well, keep it that way. Ain't gonna be no fucking tonight.
Baby, the red shirt's nice. I like that. You guys have a good time.
You ever made love to a man?
No.
You want to?
No, sir.
Hey, have no, a good time, sir. It's so good. No,
thank
sir.
You, Alexis, for bringing it up. Man. That is, I mean, that scene is just perfect. Well,
it's comparable to Who's On First. It's so classic.
Yes. I 100% agree. If Abbott and Costello were two high powered black Miami cops in the tactical narcotics team, that would be Costello.
The scene. Yeah, yeah, that would really be the scene.
Let's break this down. Let's start from the very, very beginning. This, again, GMP fans, this will be the longest show we've ever done, and with great pride and great respect to the greatest movie that we have done to date. I don't care. You can look at Predator. You can look at any of them. This movie outclasses them all, out-actions them
just
all.
Just so you know, I don't fully agree
up,
with any of Josh's statements.
Guys,
right now. I love the movie, but
Ben's
I don't agree.
Mute Ben's microphone. Thank you. I will be talking for the rest of the podcast. Ben has no more speaking privileges. Bad Boys 2, I will stand by as they muted you. I will stand by the fact that Bad Boys 2 is hands down Will Smith's best movie, hands down Martin Lawrence's best movie, hands down the greatest movie, duo cop movie. It takes out all the lethal weapons. I don't
know. Oh my, come on!
It is the greatest buddy cop movie. No, it takes out Beverly Hills Cop. It takes out another 48 Hours. It takes out Turner and Hooch in a close second to Turner and Hooch.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Boo me. Go ahead and boo me, you sons of bitches. Bad Boys 2, Mike Drop, Mike Lowry. Ah! No, I'm sticking around.
I'll gladly take over after that. I disagree with 90% of what you said, but I still really love this movie.
I would like... This is a debate, Ben. This is a heated debate about... This is a love debate, okay? Uh-huh. This is like both of us arguing the fact that Kate Upton is gorgeous. I'm just so happening to say that Kate Upton might be the most gorgeous girl of all time.
Yeah.
And you are arguing that she might be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It's a great film. I think Lethal Weapon... come on. Lethal Weapon...
Bad Boys 2 doesn't have a Reggie scene. Bad Boys 2...
You mean Lethal Weapon doesn't have a... You're getting so fired up, you're missing. Let's do the plot.
Okay, let's do the plot.
I
think we should do the plot in under 5 minutes this time, because it is a 2.5 hour movie.
Hey, 3 minutes? Right, you tell me. Let's do five. Let's do five and see where we get. That's so cheating.
Okay, we're going to start at the 19-minute mark, which is in 25 seconds.
Okay,
and
so
that
means
we have
till
24. Okay, we have to the 24-minute mark. You guys can't watch. There's like a ticker over here. It's sort of like...
We're not just imagining a clock.
It's like our game clock that we look at. We have 13 seconds.
Uh-huh.
I will say that... After watching these movies, I could legit be a Miami policeman, and there's nothing wrong with that. I think I could be pretty good.
Well,
in two, one, go, Ben.
Okay, so the movie starts
off
with...
Don't play that music. You got to play Bad Boys.
So the movie starts off with a very... You get so pissed. So the movie starts off with a very complicated ecstasy plant making all this ecstasy and putting it into coffins, and then all this these speed boats taking them somewhere.
Away.
Yeah, it gives it away a little bit.
What do you know?
So then it takes it away, and then they're speeding up, and they're going to do a drop where there's a Klan meeting going on. And all of a sudden, they're like, we're going to burn everything. And they say some very profane racial things.
And then
boom.
Out comes the robes.
Mike Lowry. Oh, slow
Michael
motion.
Bay shot.
Michael Damn. Bay, which the Michael Bay shot is a camera just up this way. Just I don't know what you
I
would
call
it.
I think he drops like an N-word in there. He's like, come to Piper or something.
Yeah, no, he says, uh-oh, it's the...
Oh, it's the black folk or something.
He says something I don't want to say because I'm white. Yeah. Anyways, and they pull their guns out on
the shootout happens.
It's craziness.
They got like all of Miami PD to get to that Klan rally.
Badass slow motion double gun bullet time goes through Martin Lawrence's ass and into a Klansman's neck, which who didn't want to see? Who doesn't want to see Klansman get shot?
Get a neck shot.
Everybody wants to see Klansman get shot.
Shot. So then they realize that they've taken all these people and they only got two bags of X. So the bust wasn't as big as they were hoping it's going to be. So now they're pissed. They go back. Joe Pantaleone's like, yo, you sons of bitches, you motherfuckers. Whatever.
It's a terrible impression.
It's awful. It's terrible. Go, Ben.
I got so much brass up my ass, I'm playing the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah. So now they're trying to bring down this ecstasy dealer who we don't know who that is yet. Cuts to a club. Somebody ODs. It's these Russian guys. They're like doing all kinds of stuff.
And it's the hammiest bad guy ever.
Oh, yeah.
the Russian Grim Reaper who does this weird thing with his tongue and teeth all the time.
Yeah,
it's the guy from Fargo. I'm forgetting his name right now, but we'll figure it out.
Anyway,
ODs. He calls up the main bad guy who's like, "Get this fucking guy out of here." He's this guy from Cuba who's I think he's actually a Mexican actor playing a Cuban guy.
Correct.
But whatever,
correct.
You know.
Three minutes in Hollywood.
Okay, see, we're doing terrible. Yeah. You keep going. You know this better than me.
So then it's Mike Lowry as
They figure out where the new shipment's going to be taken, right. And that there's these like weird Rastafarian pirates that are after it,
right.
And then there's the biggest car chase you've ever seen in your life,
maybe one of the greatest car chains.
It's amazing
car chase scenes in movie history. There's a boat that gets destroyed. They drop cars off
of a car rig. It's craziness.
Every machine gun is fired. There's a Ferrari.
I think they say 41 cars or something.
21 cars and a boat.
They get yelled at again
because the tactical narcotics. There wasn't anything tactical about it, and they still don't have any money or any
drugs. They know that now Marcus's sister is in the DEA and she's trying to work and figure out this whole thing and undercover as well.
Then they figure out that Johnny Tapia is more than likely responsible, and they keep trying to bring Johnny Tapia down, but Miami PD can't do it.
So they go in and they pretend to be pest control,
right?
And they put wires in, and somehow they escape. And the bad guys just think, oh, they must have been gangbangers here, not to like search the place for wires or that they might be cops, but they just assume, oh, they're gangbangers.
Yes,
you know.
And then because they let in, they shoot the cousin, Johnny Tapia's cousin, and then they figure out that. Gabrielle Union, she's going to become like the head of all the money, and then because they killed the Russian guy's best bud, now they're going to go.
They bring him in a barrel with like his body parts out
in a tortilla bin. And so there's blood everywhere, and then they go and they figure out that DEA and Miami, they can't work together. Are going to go to a new drop. The new drop happens. They get Michael Shannon out of jail because he's going to happen. Then they get another sick car chase where they're dumping bodies outside of the van.
It's really sick because there's like dead bodies being run over.
Palms Mortuary is where they're hiding all the X and all the dead bodies. Minute 20.
Okay, so now they go into the Three Palms Mortuary and they do a drug bust there, and they're hiding in there or something?
Because
then Martin Lawrence is hiding under the
thing with the bimbo.
Yeah, because they're trying to get photos to get evidence to get the chief to give them a warrant. So they do this elaborate thing to find out. Then they go get the warrant to get in there. They go in there and they find...
Finding the money, they find the body. Martin Lawrence actually takes a bunch of X. They get the pictures. They drive a truck into the Palms Mortuary so they can escape. They go to the captain's house to show him the pictures. Martin Lawrence is on ecstasy. It's a really funny scene. Nice fucking eyes, big fucking fish. We'll get into that sound clip later. And then they take down Tapia's operation. It's a full sting tax sting, but they kidnap Gabrielle Union. Johnny Tapia does because they have $100 million of his dollars. They go to Cuba.
They go to Cuba where the biggest, craziest shantytown massacre ever happens. Blow up his brand new house. There's a huge shootout that happens. There's rocket launchers. There's all kinds of shit.
Bombs,
then it ends with a car chase through a bunch of drug shacks with
everything's
a Hummer.
Everything's exploding.
Yellow even things
Hummer,
they don't
Guantanamo
hit.
Guantanamo Bay.
They get to Guantanamo Bay where Gabriel Union throws the gun, blows up the bad guy with a bunch of landmines.
Martin Lawrence shoots Johnny Tappy in the face because he's been scared to shoot on it. And then they
kiss amongst the landmines. Gabriel Union and Mark. And Mike Lowry. And then there's a funny little pool ending again.
And they're 5 minutes. On the dot, we are the greatest breakdown plotter in 5 minute history.
That may have been the least coherent. I forgot everything. It's like as soon as we dragged it out to five minutes, I forgot the entire plot. Once we got to the point where it was like the mortuary scene, I was like, what the fuck happened in this movie? All I remember is explosions and shit.
This is one of those movies where it is action from the start.
Yeah, even though we took 5 minutes to describe the plot, there's not a ton of plot. It's basically like,
it's action.
How do we get to the next action scene loosely? Like, there's an
all
and they always get out of. It's like the boat chase scene is one of my favorites or the car chase scene that ends with a boat explosion, and these pirate guys are like going crazy trying to do everything to get this van with Gabrielle Union's character in it with the money and the X, and then somehow she drives under a bridge after all this. And they just bail.
Right.
They're just like, we're out. That's all we could do.
This chase is over now.
This chase is over.
We run out of camera and film.
It's the most anticlimactic ending to a chase ever.
Yeah. Well, there goes the money. Yeah. They figure out.
Oh, we blew up a boat and we just forgot to shoot the last part of this scene, though. But who needs dialogue? We got a boat explode.
The choppers, the cops, they're all gone. We figured out we just hide under this very public bridge that nobody's going to find us at. So nothing big.
What happens?
Listen,
it's
I'm not
absurd.
Saying that all movies of this nature don't have plot holes. I'm just saying I'm more willing to glaze over said plot holes because I love this movie so much. Sorry, I just spit on the desk.
You're so excited.
All right. Let me start with my first little plot hole slash what I love about this movie is that Okay, they're at a Russian club where everybody's like dancing. It's so stereotypically Miami where everybody's like sweating and they're taking drugs and every girl's on the bar and they're dancing in like an angel.
It's so
outfit.
Michael Bay.
It's super.
Every
Michael
single
Bay.
Shot is an upskirt shot. Hashtag upskirt. That's all it is. It's just like
Michael Bay upskirt.
It's just Michael Bay's like. Yeah. You could just imagine the first time he ever proposed that to like the DP and the extras where they're like, "I'm gonna be in a Michael Bay movie," and he's like, "No, your vagina is though." That's all it is. That entire scene is entirely dolly shots just going up girls' skirts.
Yeah.
And you two motherfuckers need Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what I said to Michael Bay when I met him one time.
Yeah, me too.
He was there with Jerry Bruckheimer. Yeah. I said, and you two motherfuckers need Jesus.
For making Bad Boys 2. No, we all found Jesus after we watched Bad Boys 2.
It's such a morally corrupt movie. It's in amazing. The best way.
Yes. So you're in this Russian club, and when Gabrielle Union goes to talk to these Russian guys to become their money launderer because she's the undercover DEA agent, there's just like two random strippers filling bags full of drugs and then like mountains of cash.
Yeah, just hanging out. How do you even keep track of all that?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got to really trust your inner circle to have mountains of cash.
Mountains. And people are like in the club and everybody's just like handing out X. It's like, here you go. Here you go. Listen, I've been to a bunch of clubs. It's a lot more discreet when you're doing drugs.
Yeah, that was a pretty blatant club. I mean, it was just apparently the club was just called Ecstasy and you just go there and you know, hey, we just dangle it in front of everybody. There's no cops
and
in
then
here.
They're like, hey, a guy's dying. We better throw him in a van and then throw him in an alley.
No, throw him in an ambulance.
Oh,
they ambulance. Pretend to take him off in an ambulance, and then they just dump him in an alley.
Right, good ambulance work right there. That's some...
If you're going to have an ambulance, just take him to the hospital.
Right?
Because then they get in trouble. Because no one knows this club has so much ecstasy because they're so discreet.
And they dump him far enough away from the club that, you know, they can't find him, a.k.a. in the alley behind the club.
In the alley behind the... We found a dead body next to this club.
But there's no ecstasy in it.
Probably by another club, because this club has no ecstasy.
I think this guy, he might have had a bad Cuban sandwich in Miami, and that's how he died. That's what Michael Bay probably told people in the pitch.
Yeah.
Now, so basically you have the car chase.
The car chase, now, by the way, starts off with an epic gunfight that then leads into a car chase, where while I was watching it, I was like, this is not, I know this is so stupid, but this is not standard police procedure. They're opening, Mike Lowry does this spin around and goes, grab the wheel or something. And then he's just like, ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka-ka. Meanwhile, there's about 20 pedestrians that have crashed into Gabrielle Union's car as well as the bad guys. So he's just jeopardizing the woman he loves and all these innocent people. So it looks cool in slow motion. Ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga-ga. And they're like, oh, fuck, the cops are shooting at us. It's just like,
jump behind your Buick Regal.
And they don't show till later people running and ducking and hiding.
Right.
It's like, there's still people in those cars. And I know he's not that good of a shot.
When
it's a machine gun when you're spinning in slow motion. Oh, sorry, dude. Sorry.
Well, but then it sounded like Chewbacca when you did that.
Do it again. But the
That's good.
But the chief at the end does say, "Thank God no cops were killed." It's like
he shot a bunch of pedestrians. Like at least no cops were killed.
Yeah, at least no cops were killed. We didn't say anything about pedestrians, but they had it coming.
Well, the collateral funny thing too damage. About that first thing is, so it's Gabrielle Union's car, right?
What's her character? Sid.
Sid.
Like Sydney.
And so Sid's car gets in a wreck, and then the 90 other cars that are on the road just don't stop. They're just like...
Apparently everyone's brakes don't work in Miami. They're just like, oh shit, there's a car pile. Like nobody even tries to slow down. That's the funniest thing. It's just like were they all just texting and driving, even though they still had flip phones at the time? So how are they... You didn't even really... That's the other funny thing is the technology in this, which we'll get to in the electronics store, where they're all tube televisions and like...
Tube TVs, and they have...
And that was 2003. Look how much we've...
I know. They had the little mini Nokias.
Tell me aliens aren't giving us technology, man. How did we boom that fast?
It's going to be...
What if the next 30 minutes we just talk about aliens infusing us with technology? Anyways, let's get back to it. The car chase.
Car chase. So Mike Lowry, if you guys don't remember from Bad Boys 1, if you don't watch close enough of Bad Boys 2, he's a trust fund kid, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Marcus says after he shoots him in the ass in the opening scene with the KKK, and it's so convenient that you have the highest level of security and people in the world trying to take down this ecstasy ring, and their radios go out. Mm-hmm. They can't hear them. Their yeah. night vision goggles are flared yeah. up by the beginning.
And also, there's a fire and clearly a
this
cross
is when your
burning.
Radio goes out?
Clearly a cross, and they're like, I can't see anything. It's like, I don't know. Why don't you just take off your night vision and use regular binoculars? I'm sure you got regular fucking binoculars somewhere.
You're not that far away.
It's like, ah, shit. Anybody bring real binoculars?
The only two black guys amongst the sea of white racists with beards, yeah. and you can't see in your normal binoculars that yeah. they need assistance.
Yeah. We haven't gotten the signal yet. Stand down. Yeah. Stand down.
Come on, Henry Rollins. Get your head out of your ass.
So far up his ass. So far up that ass.
So he says, you know, you're a trust fund baby. So obviously, instead of having a police car, the next likely scenario of a vehicle transport is a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, listen, guys, if you're going to be a cop, go big.
And if you're going to be a rich cop, you know, you might as well just get into sick-ass car chases with that exactly. said Ferrari and then get pissed when
he
gets...
And boy, does he drive that Ferrari like a friggin' Formula One racer.
He does,
it
man.
Is pretty impressive.
He drives it like a stunt driver.
Yeah. A really, really good stunt driver.
Really good stunt driver.
Or just if Will Smith was that good of a driver.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm willing to believe anything in this movie. If you told me that Will Smith actually did the driving scenes, I'd believe you.
If you told me that Martin Lawrence really got shot in the ass in this movie, I'd believe it.
Method actor.
Clearly.
But that car chase scene, when he shoots so here's the thing with Marcus, is he's afraid to shoot because he's a giant P word. I don't like to say that
nah,
word.
Nah, he's a family man.
He's a family
he's
man.
He's a family
he's a
man.
Big and time he, baby at this
but
point.
But here's also the thing. I feel like Martin Lawrence is sort of the voice of the audience a lot in this movie. Like, not to fast forward to the mortuary scene.
He's not the voice of me, Ben
But he's
Bagley.
He's commenting like, come on, man, show respect to the dead people. Show respect to the dead lady. You know, like, because the audience is sitting there thinking, some of the stuff Mike Lowry does is not exactly tactful.
Don't question Mike Lowry.
I'm just saying, some of the shit he does is a little dangerous. He's a wild card. Clearly, I'm the Marcus of the two of us.
Don't question Mike Lowry, okay?
First rule of Bad Boys 2, don't question Mike Lowry.
Don't question Mike Lowry. Shit, you at least 30.
Second rule of Bad Boys 2, don't question Mike Lowry.
And the third rule of Bad Boys 2 is it's better than any other movie of all time.
Not true Sorry. At all.
I mean, it's definitely one of the best of all time ever made.
I love it.
Okay, so...
Yes.
Now we have... Listen,
we've been 30 minutes and we're only about... We're playing in real time for the movie.
Minutes. Yeah, we're 40 minutes into the movie. Okay, so... So as a parody of the first movie, yes, Joe Pantoliano does take it to the next level. We haven't even gotten to the Woosa part. Now, after Bad Boys 2, they shoot out a hangar full of people in an airplane hangar.
After Bad Boys, in the end of Bad Boys 1. And it has the greatest ending ever where he sees him pull out that tiny gun and then Will Smith just goes, and blasts him like 6 times.
Pretty awesome.
Oh, it's epic. Come on, that ending's amazing.
It's a good ending. I'm not saying it's not. I'm not saying it's not a great movie because it is a great movie. It's just not as good as Bad Boys 2. And so... they have to go to, like, training. And Marcus takes the training to heart. He's a sensitive guy. And Woosa is what Captain
this
does.
This relaxation technique where they do this.
Woosa.
And apparently rubbing your earlobes.
Now, Mike Lowry treats Woosa like Mike Lowry would. Is that he gets by far the hottest therapist anybody's ever seen in a movie. And he bangs her.
Uh-huh.
And that's how Mike Lowry Woosa's. Yeah.
There's nothing misogynistic about that at all.
Nope, not at all. That's just the beauty of Michael Bay and Bad Boys 2. Sorry, ladies, it's the truth.
Well, the movie does start off with the first time you see the bad guy, these girls are like, these two hookers are playing with a gun. They're like, bang, bang, bang.
See this gun?
And then they shoot something and he goes, fucking bitches.
Yes,
and it's like, I feel like that's Michael Bay's feeling on women.
On women in general.
In the way he makes movies. I feel
and
like
the fact that
that's
in
just
Transformers, Megan Fox and then the next girl are just
Rosie
models.
Huntington, yeah.
Just models.
And the upskirt shots continue.
Uh-huh. And they keep going. And Gabrielle Union spends most of the movie in a bathing suit. So
yeah. He makes...
that.
Which I'm all for.
Which I'm
Michael
in as
Bay
well.
Makes movies like a teenage boy with an erection,
yep.
I feel like. That's how he makes movies.
That's why he's my favorite
and
director.
And explosions and upskirt shots give him an erection.
Just call me Joshua Michael Bay. Okay? You guys are welcome. Any movie
I'm not
I ever
saying
make,
there's anything wrong with that. I'm just stating, his technique. That's all.
Do you think when he's shooting it with the camera, he's in his head going...
shit just got real.
It did
shit
get real.
Shit just got real.
And then, so you're in the tactic. So basically, what we realize is that now DEA and Miami are going to have to work together, but they don't get together until basically the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Johnny Tapia, the actor that plays Johnny Tapia in the Tapia, he is playing a great caricature of the character that he played in Blow. Because he was a drug dealer in Blow.
Yeah, too.
He was the guy that screwed over George Young, played by Johnny Depp. Now, one can go down a path toward the fact that Johnny Tapia has been running illegal drugs for a very long time. It just so happens that he's finally nearing the end of his
tenure. Can venture down that because they say it several times where they're like, we've tried 15 arrests and he sues us every time.
Yeah, so Johnny Tapia, it doesn't matter. He still keeps getting away. They wouldn't have been keeping tabs on the fact that he's running so many drugs back and forth from Cuba, right?
I feel like there's a big plot hole there where they could have figured it out.
A long time ago.
And they just say, he's too rich. He keeps suing us. I'm like,
You would think that each time they arrest him that there would be more cops kind of following him.
I'm pretty sure there's some evidence that they had found along the way.
Right.
Somewhere.
And who knew that rats like to eat money?
That's the best. Man, they're all fucking up here eating our money. Because rats just, they do. They love cheese and money.
And money. Mm-hmm. What was like, I would like to sit in the pitch room where Michael Bay's like, he has to be wanting to get his money out stat. What can we do? And somebody's like, whoa, this is just a thought.
The brainstorming sessions with Michael Bay.
Yeah, but I'm thinking maybe rats eat the money.
Do rats eat money? Can somebody look that up? We'll table that for later.
Table that for later.
And Lexus, then it gets in the script.
Some Google. Yeah, let's.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and look it up.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm pretty sure you're not going to find anything as far as
you never know.
Rats' appetite for money. Now that doesn't mean to say that there isn't something put in money that is appealing to rats.
Yeah, maybe it gives off some sort of
I've
scent.
Eaten money before on accident. It's terrible. It tastes absolutely
money
awful.
Is also really unsanitary.
Yes.
So for a rat, it doesn't matter, but for a human,
and 80% of money.
Everything that comes up is about Pablo Escobar.
Oh, nice. And 80% of money has cocaine on it.
80, really?
80% of the U.S. dollars in circulation have some form of cocaine residue on
it. So if I huffed my dollar bill real strong, I might get like at least a little kick of coffee almost?
Yeah, a little bit.
Boom. Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right. Secondhand cocaine. Hashtag,
up X.
Hashtag secondhand cocaine.
Nothing on there, guys. Secondhand
cocaine.
It just refers to the movie.
Ah, there we go.
What if they... I'm trying to read these comments from here.
Oh, sorry.
They're all just complimenting Alexis.
Yeah, they're all saying nice things about me.
Yeah, well, Alexis is rigging the comments in her favor. Good work.
No. I mean, like, they're all talking about other stuff, too. It just randomly comes up.
It's just
they're
all
bored with us rambling. Okay, so then they find out through their informant who got them the first two bags of X. Ice Pick. They find out that he...
another great name. Like, Michael Bay is like, Ice Pick.
Ice Pick? Yeah. That sounds
how
like
he picks names.
Ice Pick. Well, we could go Ice Box. Ooh, that's Little Giants.
Yeah.
Ice Pick. Ice Pick.
It sounds violent, but also kind of humorous.
Yeah, and he's a white guy, or he's a black guy, and ice is most commonly associated with white stuff.
Oh, my word.
Ice Pick.
So we're breaking racial boundaries.
Yes, sir.
Breaking
and he's Haitian.
Racial boundaries. Michael Bay.
I'm done with you, too.
Michael Bay breaking racial boundaries by a name, and then... rebuilding them up with every other character in his films.
Now,
because every character is a walking stereotype in his
now
movies.
Now, here's one of my favorite scenes is when they're in...
The shootout? No,
they're in the shop and they're doing the dance, the tandem dance, and he's like, oh, hit it! And then he just breaks everything with the
glass. It builds up to him literally hitting something.
Yeah, and I really like that scene. That's just my personal opinion. It's what really brings this movie together towards the shootout.
The shootout, which is... This is the first time I've ever seen an action scene filmed this way, where it's edited together so it seems like a fluid... Or maybe it was shot... And then they added
like
a digital door.
Room.
It was a three. I have to imagine that it was edited in post. But like it's a 360 shot that just swoops around as the bad guys keep loading more guns up, and the good guys keep and Marcus keeps hiding in the bathroom.
Yes, behind
and
the toilet.
Yeah, he's the one who finally hits somebody first.
I know,
because he's just in the bathroom like and he ends up shooting somebody. That would be my luck if I was Marcus.
Blind gunshots.
Blind gunshots, but Mike Lowry is strategically aiming.
Oh, he's getting the mirror, the double mirror with the gun.
He shoots the mirror, grabs it. Yeah, puts his... That's one of my favorite moments where he... or when the guy's firing and then he puts the gun up there and the dude looks and you just see the barrel and he's like, huh?
Head explosion. Now, I believe we have one of our first sound clips
from
this scene. The devil? Yes.
The devil is not welcome here!
Now, here's the thing. Is that...
The devil is not welcome here!
He's a blonde, dreaded Haitian, and he's the leader of the gang. We don't know his name. Ice Pick's friend.
He has a name. I just forget what it is.
His name's not Ice Pick. I think it's Popsicle Buddy. No.
Creamsicle?
Creamsicle.
Yeah.
Creamsicle. Yeah. And Creamsicle, big in the Haitian gang. And
he's, makes sense because he has blonde hair.
Yeah, he's a very religious guy. And he's very passionate that what, Alexis?
The devil is not welcome here!
It's a very religious film.
It very is. And, you know, it's funny is that you and I, mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember this, but we were in the same CCD classes growing up.
I don't even know what that means, but yeah.
Yeah, we were, you know, CCD. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's like religious education classes.
Yeah.
After church on Sunday.
Oh, how could
Sunday
I forget?
School.
How could I forget? Yeah, I
all
remember
growing
that
up,
now.
Our parents used to go out for donuts and they used to shove us in CCD.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah, our parents just love them donuts
and they
love teaching us CCD stuff.
And they really love not spending time with us really on Sundays.
Yeah, really neglectful.
So our parents would go to the
donut were religious,
shop.
So it was okay.
They, yeah, and you and I weren't the best behaved kids.
No.
In CCD and in Sunday school. And a lot of times, and our teacher, she was a very nice, very Haitian accented woman, mm-hmm. and she ironically,
which is weird because she was from Oregon.
I know,
strange,
crazy, right? And she and
I don't
she
know
had,
where she picked that up.
She had great blonde dreads that she had been forming since birth. Very passionate
since birth,
about her hair.
Yes. She had never washed her hair since birth,
and
just growing it out.
When we finally got to the part of the Bible,
it's like Rapunzel, but with Haitian fake Haitian dreads
and Haitian bloodline. Rapunzel, Haitian Rapunzel,
mm-hmm.
Hypunzel, Haitianzel,
Haitianzel,
Haitianzel.
Hey, Shunzel.
Rapation? Rapation?
Rapation. Either one. They're both terrible.
Yeah.
They're both equally lame.
Equally as bad. And when we finally got to the Revelations in the Bible, which is near the end, you and I were so fed up with Sunday school.
That's where it would go.
Yeah,
near
the
end.
And no, near the
That'd
end.
That'd be weird
Sunday
if Revelations was in the beginning. Revelations. Yeah. Oh, shit. We don't have to read anything else. Spoiler alert, Bible.
Nailed it. And
Hashtag spoiler alert, Bible.
You and I finally said, that's enough. This class blows. I hate it. It's stupid. I don't want to be in here anymore. And then Rapation, or Hey Shunzel, she screamed to the class.
The devil is not welcome here.
And I said, I'm not the devil. And Ben said, I'm not the devil.
I'm not the devil either.
And we, but she still screamed.
The devil is not welcome here.
We kept arguing
that
we weren't in fact the devil.
Yeah.
We love devil's food cake.
Yes.
We like red devil hot sauce. We use dirt devil vacuums.
Yes.
We love the movie Little Nicky.
Which wasn't even out yet, but we knew we would love it.
Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
But we are not, in fact, the devil. And she continued to scream.
The devil is not welcome here.
It was a very frustrating moment.
It was.
Because I just felt like as children, our voices weren't being heard.
Yes.
You know?
I agree. I feel like we were being creatively stifled.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, I'm still bummed out. Hey, Shunzel, I believe she's no longer teaching Sunday school.
No, but she has a Twitter account that's actually at...
The devil is not welcome here!
Yeah.
And what a lot of people don't remember, I don't know if you remember that, because it was a very a tumultuous day at Sunday school.
It was.
She dragged us out by the ear and took us to the principal. And the principal, also a Haitian man,
mm-hmm.
also blonde dreads... As soon as we walked in, he looked
the
at us.
The principal of Sunday school?
The principal of Sunday school.
The
priest of
there,
Sunday
there
school.
There are several.
The head
you
of
know,
Sunday
I,
school.
I remember the principal of Sunday school.
Yeah, he was a great guy.
Great guy.
His name was Prince Charmation?
What? This is going nowhere.
Yeah, it is. Just go with me here. It's going to have a great ending.
Okay.
It's going to have a great ending.
Okay.
Now Rapunzel, Rapunzel and the Rapation brings us
in. I'm just going to take a nap on my microphone.
Office, and as soon as we walked in, he screamed,
"The devil is not welcome here!"
And we couldn't get anything. We were kicked out of Sunday school forever. Our parents could no longer go to the donut shop.
Yeah.
Because simply...
The devil is not welcome here!
Weirdly, we ran into some Satanists afterwards,
yeah.
and we thought, oh, maybe the devil is welcome here, and we started talking about some stuff, and then they said that they changed their ways, and that...
The devil is not welcome here!
We couldn't get anything. We couldn't get
any traction anywhere. The Satanists didn't want to talk to us. The CCD kids didn't want to...
Weirdly enough...
The Haitian principal of Sunday school didn't want to talk to us.
And then, weirdly enough, 10 years later, when you and I decided to turn pro in hockey,
mm-hmm.
we both tried out for the New Jersey Devils.
Yes, we did.
And we didn't make the team simply because the Haitian coach, one of the few Haitian hockey coaches out there, screamed at us after the tryouts were over.
The devil is not welcome here!
And then he quit because he realized he was coaching the Devils and his statement made absolutely no sense.
I know. And everybody in New Jersey knows that the Devils are welcome anywhere.
Yeah, the Devils are welcome everywhere.
If you go to New York, if you go to the Madison Square Garden, You sit down with the devil's jersey on, they will scream at you.
The devil is not welcome.
But not in Jersey.
Yeah.
No.
In Jersey, you can have devils.
Well, Jersey's pretty much made of devils.
Yeah, and you know what's a really good sandwich place? Jersey Mike's.
Hmm. Jersey Mike's. All right. What's another sound clip we have? That was exhausting.
Hey, don't hate the player. Hate the game.
Oh, yes.
Now.
Oh, yes.
Was that the first time that's ever been uttered in a movie?
No, he said it in the first one, too.
Oh, okay.
Didn't he? He said it when they're coming up the escalator in the first one, I believe. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like, don't hate the player, hate the game.
Yeah.
And then they button it on this one by saying, I hate the tailor. Because he's talking about his purple suit.
Right.
Only Will Smith can pull off like a bright purple suit with almost
magenta.
It has a periwinkle lining.
Mm-hmm. I would try and pull that off.
I could.
That thing is sick. I wore a maroon blazer last night. No big deal.
I'd look like a lazy Mad Hatter. You know, like I half did my costume.
That's pretty good. Hashtag lazy Mad Hatter.
Hashtag lazy Mad Hatter.
I will say, you know, you and I are both fans of Michael Douglas. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't hate the movie The Game, but sometimes.
Hey, don't hate the player, hate the game.
That was
you know what? I feel the same way because I actually saw the ending to The Game before the rest of the movie.
Mm.
And I said, I hate The Game! And then,
don't hate the player, hate the game.
And then I was like, Will Smith, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Because I was watching The Game with Will Smith. We used to be close.
Yeah. And I, you know, when I started rapping early on when I first moved to LA, I was going to be a rapper. That was the first goal, you know.
Yeah, I remember. You were pretty good.
I know. I had some good singles out there. And they called me The Player. Mm-hmm. That was my name, The Player, or Duh Player, depending on what social circles you wrote.
Yeah, I never agreed with Duh Player.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to keep with The Player, you know, because there's Duh Brat.
Because you already had The Playa.
The Playa.
So you didn't need Duh Playa. That's a double.
And then there was Playa Vista.
That's a double abbreviation.
It's Playa Del Rey.
Yeah.
Right?
So then you had to play to The Player.
The Player.
Not to be confused with the Robert Altman film.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went into the studio one day and The Game was in there and he stole my lyrics. He stole my song. And I went up to the producer and I said,
hey, don't hate The Player. Hate The Game.
And the producer was like, too bad, The Game's making more money for me.
I know. And
that's rude.
The Game just had flow, and I didn't have that flow that is necessary. So
you've been ghostwriting all of his singles, though, ever since.
Oh, yeah. Me and The Game are tight. You know, when you see on his credits, like, written by The Player.
Yeah, it's real small, though.
Yeah.
Because they don't want anybody to see it.
Right.
You actually have to pause it if you're watching the music video, and you have to kind of enhance it a little bit.
Right.
Because it's like a hidden Easter egg in The Game songs.
And if you're buying albums still, like on the CD cover, on it, and like real fine print, written by The Player, song by The Game, and then under everything, there is a Will Smith face, a.k.a. Mike Lowry, and he's saying there, and there's a quote bubble by his head that says,
hey, don't hate The Player, hate The Game.
So weird that no one's ever noticed this before. It seems very obvious.
I know. It's small. You got to put on your glasses. It's like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
That's all you
it's
do.
That fine print.
You put on your glasses, and you can see this hidden secret about Josh's rap career.
Yeah, it's kind of a big deal.
What other sound clips do we have? We have amazing sound clips today.
This is a nice fish, you know? Big fucking eyes, but a nice fucking fish.
Big fucking eyes, but a nice fucking fish.
Now, this is when Marcus has taken the ecstasy after the mortuary.
Which, by the way, that's another hilarious, just convenient. It's almost like in the writer's room, Michael Bay and the writer were like, okay, we want him to take ecstasy because it'd be funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're in this mortuary with a bunch of X. It's got to be easy, right? And they're like, I got it. He's going to... He throws in the bag of X as he's nauseous from seeing all the dead bodies.
Because, like most bags of X, they're in bodies. They're not sealed properly.
Yeah, they're not sealed properly. Mm-hmm. But it's sealed enough so that only two pop out randomly.
Right,
happen to conveniently fall in the glass next to the sink where then Marcus drinks, fills it up with water, doesn't notice he's... Because the pills are rapid dissolving.
Oh, yeah, they're like
rapid dissolving, And they don't even fizz. They're just invisible. They're practically invisible X.
Then
he chugs it. Or he's just so distraught from all these bodies that he doesn't notice two giant blue pills going down his
throat. He chugs the water pretty aggressively. Yeah. Now, I haven't been in many morgues, but I gotta imagine that there's always a glass of water next to all the sinks.
Yeah.
Just in case you need...
just in case you need some hydration.
Embalming fluid, tasting water.
Yeah. Or if you just, you know, because it's super, super... It's very hygienic.
Yes.
In a morgue with dead bodies and all the diseases
nothing
or germs
that
can
care. Nothing says random glass in a laboratory.
Right next to tap water in a sink where they wash off formaldehyde and dead body juice.
I would
drink from that glass
of
water.
Yep.
Oh, wait. No, I wouldn't because I would barf and I'm a hypochondriac.
That is dead body water. What's funny is dead body water.
That scene is a perfect example of a times 10 escalation of the first film.
Yes.
Because the first film, they go in and they find a dead body on a pool table, mm-hmm. and he's under there looking, and then Mike knocks the leg down, and he goes, "Damn, man, watch where you're swinging a dead leg." And he's like, "Dead body's dead," and he's like, "Ugh," and he starts like doing the fake little throw up thing that Martin Lawrence has patented.
So he conveniently takes this ecstasy.
So, but now this one though, they're around like 15 dead bodies. Yeah. They're digging in. He's like, "Oh, this is. Oh, I think I got one of the bags. No. Oh no, it's just the liver.
No kidney.
A kidney. Sorry.
And it's like a cartoon kidney.
And then there's that moment where he pulls back, and they're just because it's Michael Bay. There just happens to be the biggest boobed woman ever laying naked.
Yeah.
And then Mike Lowry's staring at it, and then Marcus is like, "Hey, man, come on, show some respect." Which is at that point the writer going, "Fuck, Michael Bay made me write this," and I feel really morally wrong about them staring at a dead woman's boobs. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to make Marcus say this is wrong. So hopefully the audience doesn't think I'm a giant hornball like Michael Bay.
Which, I mean, yeah.
Every time Mike Lowry does something, you know it's Michael Bay. And every time Marcus says something, you know it's Ron Shelton going, "Fuck, man, he made me do this." That's what it is. You know it. That's exactly what's happening.
I'm going to go with you on this one. But here's the funny thing is like, oh, no, that's a kidney. We've already stated earlier in the movie that they take out
They take out everything, yeah.
So there's not just like a random kidney. And
they just did that. They just did that to be gross.
Hey. Did we forget a kidney in the...
We already sewed him up. Who cares?
Some cop's going to come in here and grab it anyway. No big deal. So there's just a random kidney, and it's got like some attachments on the kidney still. So it's like... because ripping a kidney is that easy to rip out of the body. Yeah.
It's just as easy as when you play the game Operation.
Yeah.
If you have the right grip on it, it just comes out.
Yeah.
But if you hit one of the sides, then it gets messy.
Done. Yeah,
it gets very messy.
That's why I'm not a surgeon. I got shaky hands.
So then...
they go to the captain's place.
But here's the best part. They have to hide... And of all places, Marcus hides under the sheet
with the bimbo.
With the bimbo, so that mm-hmm. you can have an out of focus shot of a boob jiggling while his eyes look at it. Like,
"You tell Teresa anything, I'll kill you."
"You tell Teresa anything, I'll kill you." Yeah, because that's another escalation. Where in the first one, Teresa thought that he was sleeping with Taya Leone. Yeah. Now it's like, "Hey, we already had this.
Yeah.
I can't have her knowing that I'm laying next to some big boob dead girl, because she might think I'm a necrophiliac or something." Right?
Yeah.
That's where you would jump.
Yeah, organless necrophiliac.
Organless necrophiliac. Even grosser.
Yeah. And so they
escape by the ambulance.
Crash that ambulance into that building. Oh, kick your ass.
Like, yeah, they crash an ambulance through the building, and somehow those two guys get away without the bad guys going, "What the fuck did you crash into our building for?" Yeah. They're just like, "Sorry, we gotta go now." It's
the
gas pedal is stuck.
Yeah.
Which to me, it's like, the bad guys there aren't gonna radio, what's his face?
Johnny Tapia
and be like, "Hey, there's something suspicious going on here.
They keep crashing them.
Ambulance just crashed into the front of the building." He's like, "Who cares?
Give me my frigging money.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's a plot hole. Just move on."
So...
Now they take the photos back.
They take the photos.
All that was just
captain,
to get photos.
Get to the photos and then get to the captain's place. Just anything for evidence. And apparently the captain lives in a real feng shui kind of place.
Because he's woosahing it out.
He's
woosahing
it out. Very woosah. And he's got the Asian fish hanging in the thing. And this is where
Marcus... I don't know if it was necessarily an Asian fish.
It is. It's an Asian fighting fish.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He's got
I don't
big
know my fish.
Eyes, but a nice fucking fish.
This is a nice fish. You know? Big fucking eyes. But a nice fucking fish.
You know what? I said that the first time I ever went to a fancy fish restaurant, and I ordered the fish of the day. I didn't realize that it came out full on, like, just the body of the fish.
Yeah.
And at first I was grossed out, and then I started taking a few bites of it, and I thought to myself,
"This is a nice fish, you know? Big fucking eyes. But a nice fucking fish."
I didn't eat the eyes because they were... I don't think you're supposed to.
No,
but they were giant. And they were just staring... It was weird to just be carving into this lifeless carcass as it's just like staring back at me.
And weirdly enough, you know, when I was there at that dinner with you, it was a great dinner. We had a great time.
I always forget. We've been at so many dinners together. I always forget. And CCD, we've just shared so many memories. I forget constantly.
Yeah. And Lawrence Fishburne was there too. Crazy, right? And everybody knows that we call Larry Fishburne, mm-hmm. Larry Fish, Fish Man, Fish for short. And his daughter has big eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I leaned to him in the dinner. I said, "Larry,
this is a nice fish, you know, big fucking eyes,
but a nice fucking fish.
And he agreed with me. He was
he was slightly offended.
A little offended, but I mean, he'd had enough cocktails in him and a few cocktails that he was kind of like, yeah, he makes a good point.
We were in public and there was paparazzi, so he just kind of cordially was like, wow, that guy's an asshole.
Yeah, right.
But,
right.
you know.
And then the waitress came over, right? And she was talking to you about something.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, hey, you know, I don't mean to be weird, but next time if I come here, I want to order the same thing, but can you just not have the eyes? Because...
this is a nice fish, you know? Big fucking eyes, but a nice fucking fish.
Because I didn't want her to feel offended like I didn't like the fish. I liked the fish, I just didn't like that big fucking eyes staring back at me. Right. It just freaked me out. It was like I was looking into the fish's soul while I was eating it.
And you know, it's kind of crazy, too, is at the table over from us at the same restaurant was all the members of the band Fish.
It was a giant table.
It was a big table.
And they were all high.
Really, really high. Mm-hmm. And I think one of them may have actually been on ecstasy. I'm not totally sure. Mm-hmm. And they had just inducted a new member into the band. And he was a really just big-eyed guy.
Yeah.
So I went over there and had a couple whiskeys, and I leaned into Trey Anastasio's ear, and I said,
this is a nice fish, you know? Big fucking eyes. But a nice fucking fish.
Yeah.
And he apparently really liked that because they got up and they just did an impromptu show for us.
I know. It was granted, 17 minutes of guitar.
But. Yeah. They only had one guitar.
Yeah.
And it was really just, you know, yeah, it was 17 minutes of just, you know, riffing.
Right, right.
Not unlike their concerts.
And not unlike this show right now.
Yeah.
So.
And you two motherfuckers need Jesus.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that scene is hilarious, too.
Now, I
but
we're going to have to go back to summer school.
We got it. Yeah.
Because summer school, I mean Sunday school.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So church school, because after they realized that Devil is not welcome in here, we had to go back to class. And we had a new teacher. The priest, the principal of Sunday school, and the our main teacher had run off together. They decided to have an affair because the devil was in there. We had brought the devil. But we walked back to class. And our new teacher was a very sassy black woman we had met at a camera store while we were trying to find a footage from a black a Haitian gang member's house. And they played some porno.
It's weird because it's like Michael Bay stole our scene in our life and put it in Bad Boys.
Right.
And I was so embarrassed when I first saw it. And then I was like... Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. Classic Bayski.
Hashtag classic Bayski.
I mean, he's just the best. Best Bay guy around. And we walked in, and our new teacher, Miss Saltonfuss, related to Veda Saltonfuss from My Girl, she screamed at us as soon as we walked in.
And you two motherfuckers need Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we did. We found Jesus.
We found Jesus.
We did. We found...
But then we realized he was just a homeless man with a really long beard. We gave him a couple bucks, though. And I felt like that could mean that we found Jesus. But then she still came up to us and we were like, hey, we gave this homeless guy...
And you two motherfuckers need Jesus.
We were like, I thought that's what that... I thought we found him.
We thought we found Jesus, too.
Yeah.
And then, you know, fast forward a couple years and we ran into... Same... She was a new girl in town and she came to our Sunday school. And she went by Rihanna at the time, and she said she found love in a hopeless place. And I was like, I think you mean to say...
And you two motherfuckers need Jesus.
Yeah, because she was trying to find Jesus, and the motherfuckers need to find Jesus. And she said she found Jesus in a hopeless place, which then she turned into love. And
oh my God.
We have a number one single on our hands.
You a virgin?
Yes.
All right, keep it that way. Ain't going to be no fucking tonight.
Now, Reggie found Jesus.
Yeah, Reggie found Jesus. I feel like we have like 90 other sound clips.
What else we got?
What? Let's play some and see what we have.
Okay, I'd like you to play how I answer the phone all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This is Lowry. You hot?
Yo, it's Lowry. You hot?
That's how I answer the phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Ben, if you want to give me a call.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna just give Josh a call real quick. See if he's. He's running
Mike Lowry.
You know, we haven't figured out what movie we're doing next week. So let me see real quick. Bring, bring, bring.
Yo, it's Lowry. You hot?
Yo, man. Hey, that was my stomach that just growled.
Yo.
Could y'all hear that on the... You hear that on the microphone?
Yo, you got to get somewhere. Yo, I can't hear you. Yo, this is Lowry. You hot?
Hey, just listen. Remember what we've said since we were kids. Remember, I wrote it on your yearbook.
You motherfuckers need to find Jesus?
No. Let's see if Alexis knows what sound clip I'm trying to cue up right now. Remember, we've said this since we were kids. Written on our yearbook.
Shit just got real.
Nope. We ride together.
We ride together, we die together. Bad Boys for life.
I say that anytime we go into a Subway because I got food poisoning from there and I get a little nervous.
It's all right, man. It's all right. Hey, this is Lowry. You hot?
Yeah.
I would like to say
you keep talking on this conversation like you keep answering your phone. I'm confused, Lowry.
I can't hear you. Alexis, could you play me my answer again?
Yo, it's Lowry. You hot?
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, I am hot. I mean, it's the air conditioning isn't really going off in here.
I still can't hear you.
I done just got mad.
Yeah, that's what's happening right now. You're getting me mad because you're not listening to what I'm saying.
I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Yo, it's Lowry. You hot?
Yeah, I already said I'm hot because I have sweat gland issues in my...
Did you switch to AT&T? Are you in a low service area? I can't hear you.
Am I waiting for a sound clip or am I supposed to say something funny?
Give me the gun!
Okay, I'm going to toss it right at your feet. Right next to the mine.
Okay, I'm going to stop this phone conversation and talk about when I saw this at 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How old was I? 2003? What's the years? 82? Is that 13? Yeah, that's 13.
No, you're 21.
Holy shit, you're right, 21. I forgot math. Like the Russian Grim Reaper.
You were 10 in 2003. Thanks, Ben.
Just like the Russian Grim Reaper. I don't do math. So this sound clip here, when I saw this at 21, not 13... I saw that's what it was, 95. I saw the first one when I was 13.
Got it.
So when I saw this in theaters, and she says this.
Give me the gun!
Okay, I'm going to toss it right at your feet. Right next to the mine.
Which, by the way, we already know it's a fucking minefield.
Yes.
So she doesn't need... It's like another moment in the writer's room where I'm sure Ron Shelton was like, yeah, so she tosses the gun and it hits the mine and it blows up. And then Michael Bay's like, wait. How does the audience know she's tossing it on a mine? Well, Michael, it's a minefield, so we can just assume that she's a DEA agent, she's smart enough. Yeah, but I think we should add a line in there. You know, something not too overt, but something like, this.
Okay. I'm going to toss it right at your feet. Right next to the mine.
Okay, Michael, just wondering, right next to the mine doesn't clear up that it actually hits the mine. Mm-hmm. It makes it more confusing... That you're saying the gun goes next to the mine and the mine goes off. Shouldn't we say right on this mine?
Can I cut you off there, Ron?
Please.
I'm just not sure that the audience is necessarily going to know that the gun can set off a mine. So I'm just going to need to tell them that it does that.
Okay. But like I said, you're saying next to the mine.
Well, could
did the bullet hit the mine when it lands? Does the bullet hit the mine and that's why it goes off?
No. What I'm getting at here is it's a proximity mine. Do you remember playing Nintendo 64 GoldenEye? You had proximity mines.
Yeah.
So if the gun landed anywhere around the mine, right next to the mine, it could go off and explode a body.
Okay, I still think it's a stupid fucking idea, but you're paying me a lot of money.
Okay,
that's pretty much how it went down.
Hold on, my phone's ringing.
Yo, it's Lowry. You hot?
Hold on. Wait. I lost it again. My phone's ringing again. I'm sorry.
Yo, it's Lowry. You hot?
I dropped again. Hold on. Can you play one? I'm going to...
Yo, it's Lowry. You hot?
Okay.
This
sorry.
Is about as gratuitous as a Michael Bay film. But the mine moment is ridiculous, right? I mean, next to the mine. It's like the audience wouldn't...
There's three things in that scene that really, really upset me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay.
I'm so excited. You actually are saying something you don't like about this movie.
They drive on to the part that a car at the base. Now, they haven't hit any mines yet.
Mm-mm.
Now, an iguana walks on a mine.
Yeah.
Okay, an iguana walks on and explodes. So, you're telling me that at Guantanamo, there's a plethora of lizards that walk on mines all the time, and so there's a sniper in a tower, and every time a bomb goes,
goddamn lizards.
Okay, second part that really upsets me is that after she throws the thing and it explodes the guy, they do a forward roll in the sand, avoiding the mines.
Somehow. But his feet almost hit the mines.
Almost hit the mine. He pops it. Tapio gets blown, his head explodes, and he falls back into what could be called the world's softest sand.
That's so soft.
He falls in, and his body is sunken in by the sand.
It's just like a feather bed of sand.
Have you ever fallen in the sand and just been like, it just goes thud?
Yeah, it's more like, shit, that hurt.
That hurts a lot.
This was, it was very dreamlike.
Yeah, very dreamlike.
I would like to get a bed made out of that sand.
Me too. Very
fluffy, amazing.
Very, those were my three problems with that scene. Now, let's rewind.
And then his body
bit.
Explodes by three mines.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet.
Which is also hilarious.
Where they were standing earlier.
Yeah. And that these mines don't blow up anywhere other than, like, the
Convenient places.
The convenient places, and none of our heroes. Yeah. And then he starts kissing Sid. Mike Lowry
starts. Way to Cuba for this. Now, after he shoots Johnny Tapia, I believe Will Smith has some advice.
Oh, one of the greatest
Martin
lines
Lawrence.
Ever.
This is how you're supposed to
That's
shoot.
That's how you shoot.
Now that's how you're supposed to shoot. From now on, that's how you shoot.
Which is from the first movie. He goes, that's how you drive. From now on, that's how you drive. Right. So literally they just were like, hey, we like that moment.
Right.
Let's do it again.
And
now that's how you're supposed to shoot. From now on, that's how you shoot.
I don't know if you know this, but I was a competitive pool player.
Oh, yeah,
for a long time. And
I remember
that. Yeah, and we were on the same team.
It's so weird. We did a lot of stuff together.
I know. It's great. And they used to call us the Corner Pockets. We also doubled as
an acapella team.
Correct.
Yeah.
We were an acapella team.
We sang all, you know, kind of like jazzy pool hall hits.
Yeah, a lot of pool hall hits.
Like a lot of...
Do you remember? Yeah. You take the cue ball and
hit the ball.
Hit
it in the corner pocket. With the 8 ball
and the 7 ball. And
we haven't practiced in a while.
And you
so.
Two motherfuckers need Jesus.
Yeah, you're very right. Now, it's funny, is we were in the championships. It was the Northwestern District 7 regional semifinal championship match.
Yeah, eventually they cut down the name of it because it just got confusing.
It got confusing.
And we didn't know what part of the country
we were. And
you were
just ice cold all weekend. You couldn't knock in anything. I was carrying the whole team. And then at the end,
I was like a backpack. Basically,
you
the
sunk
whole
a
weekend.
Double banker 8 ball corner pocket, and I screamed at you.
Now that's how you're supposed to shoot. From now on, that's how you shoot.
But oddly enough, we never played pool after that.
I know,
so
that was
really,
the last time.
Yeah, you know,
you go out on top.
Yeah, we were like Seinfeld. We went out on top.
Right,
we went out on top.
Right,
you know.
Yeah, and weirdly enough, too, is that after the pool, you and I got into some skeet shooting.
We were pretty good at it.
It
was great.
And then we joined. It was weird. We went to Amsterdam and we found that live sex show. Mm-hmm. And you met that girl, and she was really cute. It was in a darker time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you just weren't performing that well in the live sex shows. And then finally, you just brought it. It was a Fourth of July. It was a Fourth of July weekend.
John Holmes, you know, just like
just
Rocco, whatever his last name is, just brought it.
Yeah, Rocco Sanfridi, and
Manuel Ferrara style brought it.
Just crushed it. It was a Fourth of July weekend. It was a summer tent pole, like
Bad Boys 2. It was like the scene from Crank. It was that good in front of everybody.
Everybody, and your lady friend, after you were done, screamed to the whole audience.
That's how you're supposed to shoot. From now on, that's how you shoot.
Day later, we on a flight out of Amsterdam.
Yeah, several doctor's visits and penicillin shots later. I'm back. I'm back,
back
to normal.
You're back.
You know.
And congrats on that.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks.
You know, I feel like I feel good about it.
Good.
I feel good that I sowed my wild oats.
Yeah, you sure did.
In a live sex show in Amsterdam, in front of you and my close friends.
Yeah, it was a dark time. Like I said,
it was a dark time.
Yeah.
If my wife's aunt is watching this, that was a improv joke. Don't put an Italian curse on me.
Maloyki.
Shit just got real.
Exactly. What if my phone just blew up right now and I was like, oh, guys, I got to get out of here.
Okay, I think we have a couple more clips.
Oh, my. We are doing the lit.
Just like us.
Yeah. Just like us.
Now, this
hey, you know what? The first
Martin Lawrence.
The first time I ever saw a porno, I watched it and I was like,
they fuck just like us.
Yeah. And then I realized I'd never fucked before, so that joke made no sense.
Yeah.
But I tried.
And
so we should explain the context of this.
The rats are eating the money. They get up there to try and infiltrate the house as pesticide, as exterminators. Will Smith is professional as always, and Marcus is, Martin Lawrence is scared of rats.
Oh, yeah.
And he is hysterical.
And so, of course, they leave him up there, because why not leave the guy who's not afraid?
Yeah, and in classic Michael Bay fashion, he gets rats fucking.
Yeah.
And,
classic, you know, just highbrow Michael Bay fashion. He has two rats
just doing the freaky. It looks like they're almost necking, like they're having like a porn scene.
It's like a weird softcore missionary style.
Yeah.
Where like there's a little too much space between them.
Yeah.
You know, in softcore when they're like bobbing and there's clearly like 7 feet or like a
foot.
He's
going down
them.
On a girl and licking at her belly button, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
This belly button is delicious. Get that lint. Get that lint.
Alexis
is grossed out by us.
You missed a sound clip drop.
And you two motherfuckers need
Jesus.
What else do we have in there, Alexis?
What else we got?
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? And that's the best, and that's next, makes no name. Hey,
Dude, you gotta learn the words. We usually only do the chorus.
What's my favorite thing about that is Martin Lawrence doesn't even try to say words. he could be like, the cops come for you when you got the briquet, but then you get stuff and you eat some Lay's potato chips, you know, but he doesn't even, he just did gibberish. It's full on jibs. Jibs gibberish.
Couple of grape sodas.
Couple of grape sodas.
Couple of grape sodas.
Oh my God.
That is, I don't never myself to this day maybe drinking two grape sodas in my life. Grape juice every now and then in a transfusion. If you guys ever had a transfusion, it's an amazing drink.
No.
It's ginger ale, vodka, and grape juice.
I can't even see what else is up there. Ginger ale, vodka, and grape
juice?
Yeah,
transfusion.
Give me the gun!
Okay. I'm going to toss it right at your feet.
I think that we're done with clips.
Next to the mine.
I think we are.
And next to some grape soda. They're making fun of the Vargas and Reyes. I'm going to call Vargas and Reyes.
Those guys are recast from the first movie.
Yeah.
They're two different dudes.
Yeah,
they're way more buff and like intimidating in the second one.
And the one guy is the guy from Seinfeld who's like, this is an armoire. It's a beautiful armoire.
But it's
you don't put the ribbon?
It's so funny. They same names. They couldn't have just been different guys.
No.
Same names. Michael Bay's like, meh, nobody's going to notice.
Well, I've already thought of Ice Pick, guys. I don't know what else you
I
want
can't think
me.
Of any other names.
Yeah.
Ron Shelton, what do you got? No, I'm still reeling from the fact that you want me to write right on this mine.
Next to the mine.
Right next to the mine.
All right, I think we've gone far enough.
I feel like,
are we missing something?
Should we talk about the shanty explosions?
Like, we already talked about it at the beginning.
But the greatest thing about that scene is that that is an epic moment, and just everything's exploding, even things they don't crash into.
No.
It's so good.
The scene from above are blatantly planned explosives. Like, you can see them.
I feel like they had one take, and the explosives guy just got overzealous and was like, fuck, and then Michael Bay was like, who cares? It's more explosions. We don't need logic in my films. This movie is a precursor for Transformers.
Yes.
Is all it is.
Uh-huh.
It's just like they just took out Mike Lowry and Martin Lawrence and just put a bunch of
robots. Deep voices.
Yeah, robots.
Now,
shit just got real.
Shit did. It's been real, Alexis. It's been real for
it's
the last 71
Man, we did a 71 minutes. You think anyone will listen to this entire thing?
Did
our live chat bail on us?
No, they stuck around.
Did we have any questions or anything?
All you guys in Schmoville hanging out.
I guess.
Yeah, we still had 53 people in here.
Yes.
The whole time. They're mostly talking about movies that they would like to cover next time. Like, some people are saying MacGruber, Tenacious D, Rush Hour, and a couple other stuff.
I always find comedy. Well, I guess this is a comedy. Like, MacGruber's already spoofing things.
Yeah.
I'm always hesitant, like, because I mentioned Machete. And or Wolf
Machete.
Cop or whatever, something like that.
Yeah,
but then
said Machete.
It's weird that because I always wonder, can it be considered a guilty movie pleasure if it's intentionally?
Yeah, I tend to lean towards
if it's intentionally grindhouse, or is it better if they tried to make something? We're so loosey goosey with our guilty movie pleasure definition.
Nobody liked MacGruber. It failed at the box office, and I love MacGruber.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh my God, it's perfect.
I haven't seen
it
either.
I gotta watch
cinema.
It.
But everybody's just giving you love. Carrie Hamilton says we love you guys. Dylan Esposito says we're still here.
D-Spez.
Joseph Johnny Hartwell. My God, that's a long name. Also, I'm here. Also, someone said Broken Arrow.
Oh, see, I've been recommending.
Yeah, Broken Arrow would be good. I want to.
Running Man, Machete, The Crow,
Shoot 'Em Up.
A lot of people were really, really saying Shoot 'Em Up.
Shoot 'Em Up is awesome. Have
it's
you seen
streaming.
Shoot 'Em Up?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's so when they parachute and have a gunfight while parachuting, and then the fucking gunfight where he's still boning her, Monica Bellucci,
solid.
John Wick.
John Wick's a great one. Yeah. We tried to do Long Kiss Goodnight today, but then Netflix sent you a bum disc.
Yeah, sent me a bum disc.
That's lame.
And I'm out of town next week, and the next week after, we haven't made a decision. We're feeling that Long Kiss Goodnight might turn into the Matt Damon of this show.
The Matt Damon of the show.
sorry,
we didn't have time for Long Kiss Goodnight this week, but Rennie Harlan, we'll have you on next week. It's been fun, man. This
is a great episode.
It's been real fun.
I can watch Bad Boys 2 anytime, anywhere. I challenge anybody if they want to sit in a full-on debate about the perfectness of this movie. Listen, there's Stark's moment. But there's the Reggie scene. There's so many quotes. There's a nice fucking fish.
It's infinitely quotable. And it's just fun.
It's just super, super fun. If you guys have never watched this movie, you just want to tell some friends about one of the best buddy cop duos in the history of
film.
You
got to watch the first one, though.
Yeah, you got to watch the first one, and then you watch the second one, and then never watch the first one again because the second one makes the first one so bad.
I'm going to punch. Oh, shit just got real. I'm going to punch you in the face.
Shit just got real.
Can you just play all 12 sound clips as we go out?
As we go out. Here we go.
Here we go. Starting from the top.
Couple of grape sodas.
There we go.
We ride together.
We die together.
Bad boys for life.
The devil is not welcome here.
Hey, don't hate the player. Hate the game.
I hate the tailor.
Yo, it's Lowry. You hot?
I think I done just got mad.
And you two motherfuckers need Jesus.
Shit just got real.
Now that's how you supposed to shoot. From now on, that's how you shoot.
They fuck just like us.
You a virgin?
Yes.
All right, keep it that way. There ain't gonna be no fucking that night.
This is a nice fish, you know? Big fucking eyes, but a nice fucking fish.
Give me the gun!
Okay, I'm gonna toss it right at your feet.
So many.
Right next to the mine.
Last but not least.
Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we come for you? And that's the best, and that's the next miss knows me. Hey! Dude, you gotta learn the words. We usually only do the chorus.
All right, GMPers, thank you guys as always for watching. You know where to find us, at Josh McGoog on Twitter, youtube.com/BetweenTheSheetsTV for my show, new episodes every Monday. Ben.
At Ben Begley Comedy, and, you know, I got some stuff coming out that I can't talk about just yet, but Funhouse Massacre and Supergirl will be, there'll be more news soon. As soon as I'm allowed to say anything, I will, and I'm not just being cryptic to be cool. I'm literally not allowed to say anything.
And also, the sequel.
The sequel. To Cloudy with a Chance. You go. You take it.
Cloudy with a Chance of Love 2.
You said it right.
Did I?
Yeah, you said it right. But
Cloudy with
now
a Chance of Love 2. Partly Cloudy. Chance of Love Showers.
That sounds like the porn version.
Yeah.
Chance of Love Showers. I think we'll end on Love Showers. Hashtag Love Showers, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Thank you guys as always for watching. Until next time, what is your guilty movie pleasure? Bad boys,
bad boys.
What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. Views expressed herein are those of the hosts only, not necessarily the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.